Okay, good morning everyone. Let's start with the first tag of the day. Attacking a big data developer by Dr. Olaf Fleb. So please remember that we'll have time for questions at the end. And if you're going to ask a question, please wait until I hand over you the mic so everything gets properly recorded. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a great honor for me to speak at the large audience hall. I'm talking about attacking a big data developer. So first, let me introduce myself. I did my PhD in computational physics a long time ago. I was working for my former projects was for the Minix project, the port for the Atari ST at that time. I did the floating point emulation. I worked for the mathematics library at Linux at the 0.1 level. It was a version 5 of the math library. I did the high precision things. I ported Perl and Python to the Psion 5, the Epoch PDA. That was not only porting the programs itself. I had to port the whole tool chain in order to get it ported. I had some contributions to the flight gear flight simulators, and now I'm one of the maintainers of MSKT Util, a utility for maintaining Active Directory Kerberos key tabs for Linux. Right now, I am a PMC for Apache BigTop. In fact, I'm the PMC chair. And for a living, I am the chief software architect for a German system integrator. So let's talk about security. The internet is not a safe place anymore. Attackers using increasingly complex attacks in order to penetrate enterprises. So what does it mean? The attackers are developing attacks where the user is forced to download something from the internet and will execute it. And if you are looking at the compile process, Maven does it all the time, downloading and executing. So how can it's an interesting problem to look at whether developers can actually be attacked or what attack vector will exist. So if this thing exists, a developer may create malicious artifacts by reusing insecure components it downloaded from the internet, if that is possible. So any user of a software component which is insecure, has an insecure build process, can be harmed. So what I am doing, I did investigate whether this is actually possible, and I did it by compiling a large code base, a very large code base. And I'm looking for possible attack vectors within the whole compile process. So, what did I do? I have a big data distribution, and I will catch the whole traffic, network traffic, while compiling this. And I will do a package analysis on this compile process, and will store the result of this package trace in a NoSQL store. NoSQL part is only here for fun. I would have done anything else, but NoSQL is fun here. And I did some queries on it. And I did found some interesting insights. So the tool set is the big data distribution. We have Apache BigTop. So let me have a small advertisement block within for Apache BigTop. What is it? It's Apache BigTop is some kind of Debian for the big data distributions. It is reused by, for instance, Google for their managed Hadoop service offering. Some parts of them reused by Cloudera or Hortonworks. It is used by Canonical's Hadoop offering. You will see the Juju Charms presentation at the booth there. It is reused by the odpi.org project. The keynote before mentioned the porting of the stack to ARM and PowerPC. BigTop actually is a part of this effort in order to port the whole process to the whole tool chain to these platforms. And last but not least, I forgot it to write it down, the Amazon MapReduce, the EMR, Elastic MapReduce EMR is based or somehow based on BigTop. So we are pretty well under the cloth. So we are, but we are almost everyone bases on our efforts. So in order to show what we have, I put up some icons on the slide. We have all these things we have within BigTop and much more. So what do we offer true? We not even have a compiler environment. I'm only using the compiler environment for this talk, but we do have much others to offer. We have convenience artifacts. It is that we have repositories for CentOS, Debian, Ubuntu, Fedora, and OpenSUSE, where you can download packages from and install it from. We have deployment templates built off of Puppet. We have an automatic testing environment. And we have the Juju Charms, which is an orchestration special for Ubuntu. But we have an orchestration for, in order to get it a cluster running. And we have non-Intel architectures, as already mentioned. So, end of the advertisement block. What did I use too? That's Bro. Bro is a network security monitor and open source package. Bro.org is the homepage. It's a flexible, high-performance, stateful, in-depth analysis of network traffic. It can analyze HTTP, HTTPS certificate chains, can fingerprinting, analyze DNS requests, and have a state, so it can give the state of out of the DNS query until the HTTPS download. So I do have a clue which HTTPS connection is related to which DNS lookup. So. And for the NoSQL store, I'm using Elasticsearch and Kibana. The Elk stack itself is built upon Apache Lucene, which is a simple NoSQL RESTful database with some powerful analysis. So my setup. So first problem will be, how do I actually catch all the traffic? My first try was to have an isolated computer patching it up to a switch, duplicating the traffic into the analysis system. But it turned out that it's quite difficult to handle. And maybe if I would have come here with a box with routers and so on, I would have been catched at the flight air control. What are you bringing here up? This? So it turned out that it's quite easy to do it, actually, because of BigTop actually has a Docker environment for compiling the whole Apache Big Data or BigTop tool chain. I can simply run a TCP dump within the Docker container to catch all the traffic. So this has the advantage that I only get the traffic from the compile and nothing from the environment outside. So I'm compiling and catching the traffic, writing it in a file, and that's all. Okay, so every time I'm doing a download from the internet over the HDH ETHO device, it will dump down to a network trace. So next part of my setup will be the analytic toolchain. And I used a thing from Docker Hub. The user Daniel Garrell 69 did a marvelous job for creating a Docker complete Docker setup, which can be set up with Docker Compose. I have used it as is, only have a pull request open regarding checksum offloading, but I think I will have to discuss with this guy how to handle this. Okay, what does it actually contain? It's not only the Docker container for having Bro, it has a Docker container having Elasticsearch. In fact, it has three copies of Elasticsearch, but doesn't make sense to have it on a computer, three instances, so I only have one instance of Elasticsearch. And the Docker container containing Kibana, the analytic engine. The Elasticsearch is a database, and Broker is the input system. And it is we have two other containers at that site. The one is for configuring the Elasticsearch engine for creating the correct indices, and the other one is for creating the setup for Kibana. So I have proper pre-made analytics I can run. And I only have to fill in my network trace and have to wait for a minute, and I can use the Kibana container in order to look at the whole traffic. So putting it in, it will be Bro will manage it to make the analytics, and it will store it in Elasticsearch, and Kibana, I am able to look at this. And the whole thing is a single Docker Compose which manage all these things, and I'm very grateful for Daniel Guerra that he actually made this available for free at the Docker Hub. So my workflow is simply use the official Docker container, Big Top Docker container, to compile. I added TCP dump, that's the run it like that, and I'm running the Gradle W package command. That's all these steps without the TCP dump are written down at the how-to for Big Top. So let me make a short recapitulation the difference between HTTP and HTTPS. HTTPS is the use of transport layer security for establishing a secure channel. A secure channel means the traffic cannot be changed, it cannot be spied upon, it will be authenticated. But if in order to be authenticated, you have to look at the certificates chain or the certificate in the all these traffic. And the good news is that everything is integrated into Maven 3.3. It works out of the box and without the developer knowing anything about it. So the message is, if you are using Maven 3.2 or earlier, please upgrade, because Maven 3.3 is a big step in the right direction. And the big news is that the secure repositories are already pre-integrated in this Maven. So, and what's the difference to HTTP? Data can be spied upon, data can be changed, data are not authenticated, data may be changed from a different server, and it is very counterproductive to add a repository in your pom.xml which where you write down http://repomaven.org, because that will revert all the efforts within Maven and will fall back to plain HTTP. So I'm, and that's now the analysis. I can show you in order to what I actually done, I here is the a screenshot from the CI of BigTop, and that access the operating systems, and this actions are access are the projects. So I'm compiling actually this column while catching all the traffic. So you see the all these famous names like Hadoop, HBase, Hive, Spark, Tez, or you will see Flink. Oh, where is it? Oh, why don't you? Okay, we done compile Flink home, and did you know? Okay, but I am doing that compile. So, and now I'm that's I have it online on my computer here, so we can use the pre-made analysis which is already available. For instance, like GeoIP. That does not make sense here, that one, but this one is interesting. This is where are the origins of my artifacts for the complete compile channel. So if for some reasons and Chinese or African developer would show up, it would we have seen a spot here on the slides, but you see the essentially these are the typical download servers from European and from the American continent. So, what it's interesting. Let me look at the slides. Okay, what your connection? That's the number of connections in the course of the compiled project, and you see time, and you see that the blue one are actually only the SSL we have. That's SSL connections. That's ATP, HTTP connections. That's one, the red one, and the purple one. So you see, we have only a part of this is only secured by HTTPS. We have many downloads from which are unsecured. That's the overall features you can see. And now, going to DNS, and that's the overall. You see it at the left part. You see the queries for domain names. That is a every connection first have to do a name lookup, and you see all the repositories essentially which has been used. That's we will look into that in today into detail later. Here, and you can see if you click at the red, the right side, on a specific answer, you get the where it is. The answer has been resolved from, and you see that the npmjs org is actually served by a thing called fastly.net, which is a content provider. So that's the kind of analysis you can be done. And now look at the logs. And here you can see what kind of things I have within my packages. And there are some computing steps within the compile process, like Spark is very slow to compile. And here that's the dump is because of the long compile process of Spark. So the first thing which is interesting from the analytic perspective is SSL. And here you see the where does the SSL connection goes through, and at the down part you see that one here. It's very small to read. The green one is transport layer version 1.0, and the yellow one is transport layer version 1.2. The message for you is TLS 1.0 is unsecure, so we are not even have less HTTP traffic, but we have only small fraction which is actually secure. So I think we should work on this in future Apache cons. So that's the first. And now I'm using the Intel. This is a service. All these configurations have been done by the Docker Compose. Things I had nothing to configure. This is pre-made by Daniel Guerra, and that one is quite interesting. If there anything would have shown up, we had a known how is it called, a malware server within traffic to a malware server within in our compile process. Fortunately, we are not known by anything bad. We have a good reputation. It would be very bad if we would have shown up by a compile process here. So everything is fine until now. So now the first interesting thing where a developer actually can do something about it, it's looking for. So that's. I already told you that TLS 1.2 is considered secure. Should have shown you something else. There's a service from Qualys where we can check servers. And I found out that one of the crucial servers, which is in the compile process, which is gradle.org services, actually don't support TLS 1.2 at all. It's not even that we are using TLS 1.0. It actually has no support for a secure. And I think Gradle should increase their security at that point. But maybe that's because they are running an old Java version. And Java doesn't support 1.2 unless I think Java 8 or something. So 1.2 is an issue. And we are looking for NX domain answers for DNS requests. That means I'm querying for a project, for a repository, and I get the answer that it doesn't exist. And if I'm looking at the result, which projects are, which repositories aren't available, you see that it's a list of Codehouse repositories, which has been a project which has been abandoned a few years ago, I think, where some open source projects have been located. All the content now is in Maven Central, but the project still querying for Codehouse. So, and the other ones are the famous devjava.net projects from Sun, which have been abandoned by Oracle. All those things have been transferred to Maven Central, but it's still querying it. And a weird thing, there's a project Jamin, which had a repository in the past, but they abandoned it in favor of Maven Central, but code is actually querying it. So, but the Jamin is actually a living project. What is the essence? What can we learn about it? So java.net, codehouse.net, and codehouse.net is quite interesting. It's now hosted by an individual. And what if a malicious guy will allocate these domains? If he can allocate this domain, he can place a malicious server into this, and everything will be downloaded from that server. For instance, Nexus compile or Mavenjug compile. So an attacker can control the compile process of your project. So I looking at the Whois entry, who is actually owning this, and asked him for a comment. And thankfully, I got an answer from Ben Walding. He was the former CTO of Codehouse. And he says, yes, it is a risk I'm aware of. At this stage, I'll keep hold of the domain names indefinitely. If that position ever changes, I'll keep Apache in mind as a potential benevolent owner. And thinks this is quite interesting because he actually thinking of a bit how what is if I can hold this domain. So this is of the one aspect of the Apache mission statement. The plan is keep doing this for the next 50 years, and we should be aware that it is meaning we also have to protect the domains we I'm using, and for the special domains we are using for projects. So, what do we find in this trace? For instance, personal homepages. That's a list of all these DNS domains, and you see peopleapache.org is within it. Actually, one developer managed to get his personal homepage to configured as a Maven repository and built it into the HBase compile process for everyone. So every compile did use his personal homepage. It's unbelievable. Fortunately, the HBase people found it out themselves and cleaned it up for master. So the current HBase is clean, thanks. But the HBase within BigTop we are compiling still have these repo in it. But nothing has to be done. It's cleaned up now. And what do we found? Either shady resources, not things not to download by a compile job. Never, ever. For instance, you see it's downloading an executable, Junction Exe. I was quite, I couldn't believe it when I first saw it. I'm compiling it on Linux, and it actually downloading a Windows executable. What the fuck? Maven download an executable. Say it again. We'll be shot. So, what's the background of this? There is an official Maven plugin. It's called Maven Junction plugin. And this is supposed to create a Zim link for a compile process. And it also supports Windows. In Windows, we have a shady thing called junction points. And this junction point cannot be done by a normal command line interface, but it can be done by some clever engineering. And the junction exe was made by the System Internals team, which now belongs to Microsoft, and they published a tool, Junction Exe, which can be used to create junction points within the file system. And on Unix or Linux, it's actually running an ln-s to create a symlink. Okay, it's not an especially clever thing to do, but it's done. But what the fuck are they doing there? They're downloading the executable. The problem is that the executable is, if you go back, it's downloaded from a thing from a site called pix4me.com. What is it? So that's now the intelligence is to use Google Street Map. looking at the WHOIS entry, looking at the address, where is it located? And okay, the rectangular thing, that's the home headquarter of pixformeat.com. Okay, I think that's not a very big enterprise. Maybe something like a freelance job. Okay, I contacted them. What are you doing? And they didn't respond. Okay, what to do about it? Maybe we can try HTTPS in order to get it at least to download it secure. It's not a clever thing to download an executable, but maybe we can download it a secure way. But the HTTP server from pixformeat.com is configured, I think, in a way we did it 10 years ago or something like that. It's almost everything is broken within the setup of this SSL server. So that would not help. So the question is it actually a real threat to download an executable? Is it actually used by somehow? So, but either way, I contacted the Flink PMC in September. They opened an issue for me and patched the whole thing out of the compile process. They were a little bit, they didn't like it, but they liked the symbolic link they created, but they saw that it can be made that way. So a special thing, thanks to the Apache Flink community, which patched it out of the way very quickly and is now in the Flink 1.2 release. It has been gone. So now I'm trying to actually exploit this because the executable is used when you run it on Windows. So I'm trying to show you how this actually can be done. I'm intercepting the HTTP traffic of a Windows compile job. I'm doing a demo with a tool called Etacap to actually do all this stuff to create an R poisoning, then the DNS attack in order to show that up. And I will force Maven to download calc.exe rather than junction.exe. So the compile job will run the calculator. So hopefully this will work now. There are many things which can go wrong, but now that's my Windows. And I prepared it that the .m2 directory is empty, so no repository is there. It will download all the things from the internet. So, and I'm preparing it that way. Here's the POM XML, and I'm going to the end. This cannot be seen very easily. Here, you see the junction plugin is used for the go link or unlink for a think build target. I'm only doing accelerated thing because downloading the whole internet will last a little bit long. So I'm taking a shortcut now right now. So I'm creating that build target by hand with now existing. So, and what's interesting for an attacker is, okay, the IP address of this machine is 130, and the gateway is .2. That's the thing the attacker has to know. And he's in the same subnet. He can start Ethercap and do a unified sniffing. Will scan for the host within the network, will enable the DNS spoofing. The target one is the gateway, target two is the Windows machine, and do ARP poisoning while sniffing remote connections. So, and now, back to my Windows machine, I can run the target which is triggering the execution of the engine is Maven Clean. And the Maven Clean will download the usual things from the internet. And I set up a counterfeit repository which only contained, which is redirected the pyxforme.com Maven repository to my local machine, which is a different executable. And you see, I'm running calc.exe because of this insecure configuration. Okay, the Flink PMC said, oh, almost none will run Flink on Windows. But either way, I could have done interchanged the Pluxus compile plugin or the Maven compile plugin. I can run anything on the computer. So this is just a demonstration how easy it is if I am on a privileged network position in order to inject something malicious. And it did. Okay. That's the essence of what I did. I had a privileged network position. I prepared a web server for offering the attack packages. I can show you the server if preferred. Prepared something here. You see, that's the counterfeit server. I replaced the junction exe. You see it in the date stamp. It's 10 years after the initial plugin, which it has not been maintained 10 years later. And I simply exchanged it. And the official one does contain a different junction exe. So, that is what I did. Okay, after the third time I queried the authors of the junction, they actually responded to me. It was Vladskarashevsky. And he told me the project is actually abandoned and no longer supported. And by the way, maybe we can do the Java 8th way to, files create symbolic link. Do you have any suggestions? And I think I do not have suggestions because this is broken. Okay, and that's what I said before. Even normal Maven plugins are dangerous. For instance, I looked at all the projects and picked some out of it and looked at the configuration and prepared a patch for Flume and discovered they actually had fixed it themselves. And now this updated Flume is now in Big Top, but we broke other things, but that's a different story. And I found Zookeeper to be unsecure. That's interesting because it's not the Maven build process, it's Aunt Ivy based. And I contacted security at zookeeper.org. That's actually a project which actually has a Zookeeper security email address. Flink doesn't have. I had to think of a way to contact the PMC. Actually, I'm part of a PMC, so I know that private ad does the job quite good. And Patrick Hunt, who is the PMC lead of Zookeeper, asked me to open a Jira issue, and I proposed a patch, had to tweak it a little bit in order to get it make it perfect, and I removed a whole bunch of obsolete repositories out of Zookeeper. This is now upstream. Then I looked at another project, a quite popular thing, Tomcat. It is quite complicated, and I was being sidetracked and ran out of time for preparing the talk here. It's actually using SourceForge, for instance, for downloading ANSYS, a package installer for Windows. And the SourceForge thing is quite nasty because it uses HTTP redirects to redirect to their content delivery network. And this is an unsecure thing to do, to use HTTP redirects. You cannot do this with HTTPS, or not that easy. So, and it is using the content delivery network of Apache. And we have a thing, if you ever downloaded an Apache artifact, you see that it will be redirected to a different site where you can download it. The problem is that many of these delivery things don't use HTTPS. And if they would use, that's one of the sites which is actually providing the downloads for Apache. I'm very grateful for Klaus Uwe to providing his own web space for mirroring the Apache content. But how do I prove that this doesn't, HTTPS only proves that Klaus Uwe is the originator of this download, but it does not prove that he is actually providing Apache binaries. He can provide his own. But he has a marvelous HTTP SSL configuration. So how do we prove? And that way, we have either to assign it with GPG or PGP or proof checksums. But that is a very nasty thing to do automatically. And no one does it. And neither do it the Tomcat build process. So we have to think about it, how to actually manage to do it securely. So to wrap up all the whole talk, in order what you should have taken from this lesson. Migrate at least to Maven 3.3. It uses and validates TLS connections. The TLS connection to the Maven Central is already built in. And check keys or checksums if you're downloading things from the official websites. What for Maven the best practice is look out for repository tokens in the POM. Please download only from trusted sites. Use secure connections. And please do not enable snapshot repositories for stable builds because snapshots do go away. If you need snapshot repositories for some point in time or for some special issue, please use Maven profiles and place your repositories within the profile so you'd only get used if you're doing special things. Best practice for Ivy is the same as a Maven, essentially. Best practices for downloading from Apache. The main thing is Infra doesn't like that we download it from anything which has apache.org in the last name because the Apache Foundation has to pay it. And for instance, I read on the Infra mailing list that the Maven Central is about 3 terabytes large artifacts. And the traffic amount from apache.org is tremendous. And we are paying a large, big money for providing the service to the public. So please use the mirrors. But how do we use it securely? I'm not sure how to use. And unsolved problem. In my opinion, these Maven Junction plugin has to be deleted as fast as possible from the Maven Central. But who is the owner of the Maven Central? I'm an Apache guy, but please tell me. I do not know who I can talk to, who is security at Maven Central. Oh, yes, okay, I talk to you. thanks for joining the talk. And the interesting thing is the transport of trust. And I think the signing with individual developers at the dist.apache.org is suboptimal. There's a key signing issue I learned from the program tomorrow. Please join them. But I would recommend the Apache Foundation to place the key signing issue for on the day where both tracks, the Apache and the big data, are in the same room, so we can sign to create a bigger network of trust. And I think an interesting thing may be that we reuse the Maven repository for even for downloading the artifacts we are providing by the DIST service. That may be a solution to some kind of problems. So I have 4 minutes left, and please contact me at my email address of@oflabbe.de or oflabbe@apache.org, and I'm open to question right now. Thanks.
Any questions?
Could you go back to the slide where you say that the Maven compiler plugin and Flink had an issue? Because you didn't really explain what the issue was.
Sorry, I didn't get any of
your okay. You had a slide with yeah? an issue of the Maven compiler plugin in combination with the Flink project.
With Flink?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's after this one, much more.
Is that? More?
No. I think the next one. No. Oh, back.
I do not remember that.
Two back, I think.
That one?
No.
Up or down?
Up.
Pardon?
Up. It's like a game. Up. One up. This should be a... No. No. Is it down?
I think I don't have a special Maven Flink slide. No, it's too... That's all about Flink.
Okay, we'll see later.
Okay. What was the issue?
Now, you said there was an issue with the Maven compiler plugin, but you didn't really explain what the issue was.
Okay.
Any other questions? No?
Okay.
Well, please give him a round of applause.
Thanks.